and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Left top right hand! Deontay Wilder! All over Fury!
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history.
Thank you, Pedro. You want to run tomorrow?
I'll be right. You going to run tomorrow morning?
5:30.
I'm leaving tomorrow at 10. I'll run with you tomorrow morning.
Okay, babe.
Pedro Fernandez.
You asked me how well did he fight? I don't know, but I can tell you one thing. He punched good.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in the city by the bay, San Francisco. Check it. This is Ring Talk. Often imitated but never duplicated, my name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to the longest running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. In this hour, we're going to have some fun. We'll spend some time with Muhammad Ali. This Is Your Life, of course, him and one of his previous wives. He was married three times. Veronica, of course, was his second wife. For Veronica, very attractive lady still to this day. Bottom line is Veronica Porsche, and we'll have a surprise guest joining Muhammad Ali and Valerie Porsche. Ali, of course, in that third segment of Ring Talk Live Worldwide today on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. If you'd like to join me, this is a live show, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Or you can text me, the guilt-free, no-commitment text line, the studio text line, once again, 415-275-1613. The studio text line, 415-275-1613. We're going to take a look at the lightweight division. As hot as it is, we'll bring in Stitch Duran, of course, cut man to the stars, be it cut man, whether to the world heavyweight champion of the mixed martial arts, Cain Velasquez, former UFC champion, or the heavyweight champion of the world. The bottom line is boxing. Cut man extraordinary Stitch Duran will be here at about 20 minutes past the hour to talk about the lightweight division. I'm going to put him on the spot. Known him about 40 years. He always remembers my voice when I call. It's always funny. No matter where I'm at, I call Stitch, and Stitch says, "Hey, Pedro, what's going on?" You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and a brand new SiriusXM satellite radio channel, channel 217. This is Ring Talk. Stay tuned for the ride.
The only thing she was missing was antlers. She would have been in season, Jack, man. I saw her coming up to me, asking me for a date. I says, "Man, I'm Hot Rod. Are you kidding me?" He said, "Yeah, but aren't you the one that's going to fight Mr. Wonderful?" I says, "Yeah, I'm going to fight Mr. Blunderful." He says, "Don't you know what he's thinking?" "Of course." "Yeah, yeah, I know what he's thinking." "Absolutely nothing, man. When he's in a room alone, he is all alone. You see, you forget, I rode with him. I know what an idiot this guy is. I know his moves. Oh, yeah. Yes, he's tough. I know he's tough. You think I ain't, man? I've been around. You know that. I've been there before. He's tough enough to go and bench press 500 pounds. Who really cares, man, huh? Your idea here of a wrestling match here, you got 12 wrestlers around the ring. You got dancing midgets and leathers. You got everything that you've ever wanted in a match."
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Buffalo!
My buddy, the late Roderick Coombs. When I say my buddy, I got to take a picture of him. He was very friendly at the Cow Palace. I brought a couple of kids out, and I was working with the SFPD, the community relations team. These two Laysian kids won an anti-graffiti contest out of Bryan Elementary School in the Mission District. And part of the prize was I would take them to a WWF event. That's what it was back in 1985, a WWF event. So I took them backstage, and the Road Warriors, I mean, the Road Warriors are like the most awesome tag team in the history of wrestling. I mean, and wrestling is kayfabe. And at that point in time, kayfabe was still alive. In other words, you know, you had the suspended disbelief. In other words, you were able to, like, believe wrestling while you were watching. And even though, you know, you went home and realized, yeah, those guys weren't really doing what they were doing. I mean, they weren't, the guy got carried out in the death match. He's going to get up. This was a bit of an act. He's an actor, an athlete. Anyway, we had some great, great times out there at the Cow Palace. There was no doubt about it. I remember fighting out the Cow Palace myself. I went 2-1 in the Cow Palace. I lost to a guy. I beat Paul Nave out there. and he ended up being the WBF, the World Boxing Federation welterweight champion later in life. But he went 12 rounds a few times. Paul could fight. But I lost to a guy, I think his name was Henry, I can't remember his last name, but he was a convict. And they told him he was a convict down at this log cabin, right, it's a log cabin, some jail down there for kids down there in La Jolla, California. And they told him, if you beat me, you get to go home. And he beat me, all right. Believe me, he was very determined, no doubt about it. No doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring, the Cal Palisades. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. As far as upcoming boxing is concerned, you know, the ESPN Plus card, of course, in the UK has been canceled. I'm talking about Kareem Goofy and Garofi and Lee McGregor, the European Bantamweight title. That was going to be ESPN Plus January 22nd. The British Board of Boxing Control shut that down. Showtime is going to go January 23rd, Angela Lee on Stephen Fulton, of course, the WBO junior featherweight title. And January 30th, back to the zone, Sergey Kovalev, or what's left of Sergey Kovalev. Of course, former WBO light heavyweight champion, sort of got exposed and beat down by Andre Ward. Not the first fight. He probably beat Ward the first fight. If there was a draw, maybe, yeah, but they gave it to Ward. But the first fight, Kovalev might have had the edge here. But the second fight, He got gangster slapped. I mean, he just got out there, got out bullied, just got muscled. I mean, Andre Ward took it to him. Andre Ward beat Sergey Kovalev in that second fight, stopping him inside the distance, of course. And Kovalev's had his ups and downs since then. But he'll be in the main event January 30th on The Zone. The Zone also comes back on the 30th with David Avanesyan taking on Josh Kelly as a European welterweight title. So I guess they're going to go across the pond. And that was a bit of a successful event last night. The Luke Campbell, or yesterday afternoon, the Luke Campbell Ryan Garcia event. In other words, what happened was it went off over here at 12 o'clock Pacific time. The card started on The Zone, and the main event went on about 3:15 Pacific time, which is 6:15 Eastern time. But more importantly, it's at a decent hour in England, to where people aren't up to like 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, watching fights. So it was great for Campbell to get his nationwide exposure over there. Of course, the Zone, most of the money comes from the UK, although Godfather Larry Merchant said the money was coming out of a Russian oligarch. So some guy from Putin was investing the money in this. But the bottom line is the Zone's rocking and rolling. Fox comes back with the Battle of Calibs. I kid you not. January 30th on Fox, of course, Caleb Plant versus Caleb Truax, the IBF super middleweight title. Both guys, of course, decent fighters. Sometimes maybe you can't tell one from the other. Why? Because of the first name. No, I'm just kidding. You can't. Distinctively different fighters, no doubt about that. But I think I would go with Plant here over Truax. Truax hasn't given it to me as of yet. King Ryan Garcia, looking back, of course, at last night's fight. Everybody's saying yesterday afternoon's fight. Everybody's saying, you know, he learned this. It was a great learning process for him. Except Hector Martinez. He's just dogging the smack out of him. He didn't keep his foot on the outside. He had his foot on the inside. I mean, every flaw that you could pick up on Ryan Garcia last night, Hector Martinez picked out. And you know what? I'm still going with Ryan Garcia. I think Ryan Garcia and Gervonta Davis, bring it on, baby. Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney, bring it on, baby. Teofimo Lopez, don't bring that one on just quite yet. But those other three guys, bring them on. Just bring them on. Come on, bring them on. And, you know, Hector, of course, Hector hasn't paid off on the last bet, the Teofimo Lopez bet. He bet me like a Big Mac or something like that. And he hasn't been, it was even odds, even though he had the champion. I'm talking about Vasyl Lomachenko, 4-1 favorite. He should have given me 4 hamburgers and 1, right? Instead, he's given me 1 hamburger, and he hasn't paid off yet. So I might have to take him to small claims court for that hamburger. So don't bet with Hector Martinez, he doesn't pay off. I kid you not, he does. And we will bet big, I think, on the Gervonta Davis Brian Garcia fight. I'm going to go with Mr. Garcia, no doubt about that. I think he goes to 22-0 with a win over Gervonta Davis, and Davis is smaller. I think that Davis throws well. There's no doubt about it. But let's see how good he catches. I mean, he really hasn't had to catch a whole lot from a decent guy that can punch. And Ryan's going to be taller than him, and Ryan's going to be able to punch. I mean, Ryan proved it last night. He can punch both to the head and to the body. Ask Luke Campbell. Luke Campbell was destroyed afterwards. I mean, he was destroyed. And speaking of destroyed, I've been beat up a couple of times. I lost fights, you know, stopped fights inside the distance and things like that. But never unconscious and never down by a body shot, either in the gym or in the ring ever. I mean, I think that would have been that would be the ultimate humiliation. I mean, I know a couple guys that cracked on smaller guys, like George Foreman used to beat on guys in the gym. George was like 215, 220 pounds, and when he wasn't in the greatest shape of the world back in the 60s, 70s, and he's beating on guys that weigh like 165, 170, and because George is paying him 10 or 15 bucks a round, they're supposed to take a beating from him. I kid you not. George was a bully. I mean, the first time around, George Foreman was a no good guy. People said to me, "Oh, come on, how can you say that?" Because I saw him. I watched him in the gym. My father took me down there. He said, "Listen, I want you to, we're going down to Newman's gym." Huh? And then later in life, I would become part of Newman's gym. I didn't think I would ever fit into the role of a boxer per se, but I did, you know, I did a little bit of boxing. But back to Newman's, I mean, our era, that's where it was. It was the oldest boxing gym in the United States. It was old. It was smelly. I mean, when you took showers in there, you definitely wanted to wear, thongs or something like that because the floor looked so bad in the shower that you thought you were going to get gangrene or something like that. But, you know, it was the old era of boxing. That's not happening anymore. There were teachers there. I mean, some of not the greatest teachers in the world, but there were some guys that knew how to teach the basics, no doubt about it. And now you're not really getting guys to teach the basics. That's what's wrong right now with the sport of boxing, is that the basics that I knew, the basics that I learned, they're not really being taught in boxing anymore. It's just, I don't know why. I mean, you're not seeing guys go to the body. Ryan Garcia is the exception to the rule last night, ending that fight on a knockout with a body shot, a left hook. But, you know, again, Campbell wasn't the strongest looking guy in the world either. At the end of the day, Garcia shines, and I think he'll continue to shine. So, Hector, put up your money, baby. Let's go. Garcia versus anybody. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, except King Teo. You're tuned to Ring Talk.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Tower of Power horns fitting. My next man is the Tower of Power when it comes to being cut man in the world of both mixed martial arts and boxing. He is the king. I'm talking about Jacob Stitch Duran. What's up, Stitch?
Hey, Happy New Year, man. I'm doing good, Pedro. Same old stuff.
Happy New Year. Yeah, Happy New Year. Let's hope that 2021 is better than 2020 for everybody in the world. Now listen, you are a boxing expert, so I am going to put you on the spot and talk about the lightweight division. I asked Larry Merchant about this in hour number one. Of course, the lightweight division, 135 pounds, is hot, hotter than you can imagine right now, and maybe hot like the welterweight division was back in the 80s. Maybe. On top, we have Teofimo Lopez, of course, undefeated. Then we've got Gervonta Davis. He's undefeated as well. The former champion Vasyl Lomachenko, although I think he's 32 going on 95. Devin Haney, of course, undefeated, fighting in Vegas out of San Francisco. And last night we saw Ryan Garcia, get up off the deck and take out Luke Campbell. Now let's go through the pluses and cons of each guy. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Let's talk about Mr. Ryan Garcia. He seems to be the guy in the headlines of everybody. Of course, 8 million Instagram followers, obviously 6,000 people packing an arena as putting as many people in an arena as they could during this COVID thing, although I thought it was a little scary. Last night in Dallas, what are Ryan's strengths? What does he bring to the dance as far as his positives?
Well, I think power is probably the thing. If you want my honest opinion, probably the only thing. You know, boxing skills, I don't see a whole lot of that. Not like a Haney or anything like that. But power, definitely has power.
Okay, but does he improve? I mean, De La Hoya wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer early on as a pro either. And plus, let's be honest, this kid didn't have the amateur background that Oscar De La Hoya had. I mean, he didn't have the number of fights, let alone the gold medal.
Yeah, definitely. I think he definitely needs to improve, you know, and, you know, only you just got that home run hit, you know, and, if you don't know how to get single doubles and triples, you know, then, you might be a little bit limited. But, yeah, you know, he's with a good team now, and he seems to be learning. So, but you're right. You know, as a fan, I think everybody's going to want to see his style of fighting.
Nobody's attracted chicks like he has. I mean, you know, since Oscar, and of course that sort of brings a different element to the dance, because you know when you have women in arenas, and you and I know that when women show up to fights, it sort of changes the whole composure of the arena.
Yeah, no doubt. But you know, I think it's those 8 million followers, which is kind of phenomenal. You know, I've worked a couple of those YouTube fights, and you know, it's a different world. And Ryan has definitely jumped on that wagon, and you know. By all means, great for him, you know. But you're right, you know, when you get women showing up to boxing, then that's the whole horse of a different color.
Gervonta Davis, 24-0, of course, at 130 pounds with a win over Leo Santa Cruz a couple of months ago, and he holds a belt at 135 as well. I always thought he was chubby and fat at 135. Dropping to 130, I thought was a good idea. Pluses and minuses of the tank.
Well, I think the tank is, you know, the Mike Tyson of the lightweight division, no doubt about it, you know. I think, you know, he's only going to get better and stronger. And, you know, the matchup I'd like to see is him and Teofilo Lopez and see how that one goes down. But, I guess Ryan, is talking about fighting him next. So we'll see. You know, you got a guy that has better boxing skills than one. They both have power. So, you know, who would you put your money on?
Okay. Devin Haney, kid from San Francisco. Decided he wasn't going to do the amateur thing, said that screw the chance of the gold medal, even though he was probably a solid amateur and had a decent chance. Turned pro instead, now 24-25-0, take that back. Yeah, 25-0, of course, holds one of those belts. What are his pluses? Let's talk about his pluses first. What are they?
You know, and with Devin Haney, I know he's trained here at the Mayweather gym, but I haven't really seen a lot of his fights, Pedro. But I think, you know, skill-wise, I know Mike McCallum was working with him on trying to get some body work in there. But skill-wise, yeah, I'd like to see a little bit more on him to give you a little bit more of an idea of what he possesses in my book.
Hey, you brought up Mike McCallum. Here's a good one. I printed in Flash. Remember when I was writing for Flash Magazine back in the day when it was like the hot rag? Anyway, I printed that Mike McCallum fought in the 1974 Golden Gloves in Miami or something like that. And I said his age, he was like 44, 45 years old. And he's chasing me around the MGM Grand. Why did you tell people I'm 44 years old? Why did you tell people I'm... Anyway, he was joking. I was sort of semi-serious, and he was in his 40s, a little older than he was, but man, what a great fighter. Talk about maybe the most underrated fighter of the 1980s, huh?
Yeah, you know, I had the privilege of working, like, I think Mike's last three fights, Roy Jones, James Toney, and I can't remember, but, you know, I always tell people when it came to natural skills, I learned so much off of Johnny Tapia. When it came to setting up punches, I learned so much from Mike McCallum. And, you know, so he was definitely you know, one of the guys everybody was scared to fight, and I think, you know, he left a lot of great opportunities only because he was too good for the other guys that were on the line.
Okay. Back to Davis for a second. Gervonta Davis, discipline seems to be a question mark. Yet he's 24-0. I should just shut up, right, until he loses?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think, you know, that's the Adrian Broner type of guy, right? But, you know, that was my point that I was going to bring up with Ryan Garcia. Now that, you know, he won such a instrumental fight at this point, you know, 8,000 viewers, and, you know, it's only going to get better and bigger, but where does he go from there? Does he stay disciplined? And that's one of the hardest things for these young guys to do, Pedro, is to stay focused, stay disciplined, and, you know, and understand that everybody's vulnerable.
But COVID makes it easier to stay disciplined. Believe me, COVID makes it easier.
Yeah, I have some friends that came over from San Francisco, actually, and they're saying, you know, it's nice just to get out because we live in a small apartment, and San Francisco is restricting everything. So, yeah, I understand. I understand it's a hard mission.
Okay. Devin Haney, as I said, fast hands. Did he not deliver against Gamboa? I mean, here's Gamboa, a shop-worn Cuban, a guy that's maybe, you know, what, 8 or 10 years past, maybe 7 years past his best, and yet he can't knock him down. Crawford knocked him down 5 times.
That says a lot, you know, but I guess fights, you know, individual fights are entirely different, so what happens one time might not happen the second.
Vasyl Lomachenko, is he 32 going on 85?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, he's been exposed. I was there at the Teofimo Lomachenko fight, and you know, I like Teofimo. I've always liked him since when I first met him here in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when you look at the breakdown, he's been discovered, and you know, the kinks in the armor are getting bigger. So and the opponents are getting better. So where does he fall on that list? You know, does he go down to 3 and 4?
You know, the Teofimo Lopez, of course, he were a lightweight champion out of Brooklyn, New York, but his people are from Honduras. He's called his move the takeover. There seems to be a little bit different attitude. I mean, Davis has got a different attitude. I mean, Lopez got a different attitude. Lomachenko sort of, he's not really part of the picture because he didn't speak English all that well. Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia. Lots of personalities here, man. I'm going to ask you the question I asked Larry Merchant. Could the lightweight division become the welterweight division of the 1980s?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think so. I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing these guys kind of go against each other now. And I think it's at that point now where, you know, all these guys that you're mentioning are all going to have to fight each other. So, yeah, I think so. But I think that's, you know, people want to see action.
Canelo Alvarez, of course, 54-1, a couple of draws, a winner a couple of weeks ago, Fortnite, over an undefeated guy from the UK. Give him props. You know, I'm sort of amazed. Maybe I shouldn't be amazed because he's an athlete, but here's a guy that stays in shape between fights, and you and I know our Latino fighters are not really known for that. Did I say that nicely?
Yeah, you did good on that. Yeah, you know, that's the good thing I like about him is, you know, he's not real cocky. You know, he goes out and performs, and you know, and if you say he's training. So, bless his heart, man. You know, some people just belong in the gym, and he seems to be one of them. And you know, I always say, if you do it for the money, you do it for the wrong reasons. But you got to have a passion for what you do to really excel at what you do. So, I think Canelo falls in that category.
Welterweights: Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford. Is that a flip a coin thing, or what's going on? Who do you think wins that one?
Well, you know, I've always been a Errol Spence fan from the first day I met him. Like I said, with Stacey McKinley, introduced me to him at the MGM, and so this guy's going to be a great, great fighter. And but you know what? On a marketing aspect, yeah, that's a flip of the coin. But on a marketing aspect, God, whoever manages both these guys, they need to do something about getting them some better PR because they're just not household names. And if, you know, you walk into an airport and you pass them by, would you recognize them? And that, to me, I think that's a big fault that they're missing on.
Errol Spence always looks, he always looks buzzed to me. You know what I mean by buzz? I don't mean on alcohol. And Crawford, you know, Terrence Crawford, they don't call him Bud for nothing. You know what I'm trying to say there? Do you feel the correlation, what I'm trying to make there?
Well, yeah, but I'll refuse to answer that.
Exactly, and that's exactly the way I wanted you to come back. Tyson Fury, world heavyweight champion. You've looked at him and worked with him in the past. Is he by himself as far as heavyweights are concerned, or is there somebody you think is Joshua a real viable challenger?
You know what? That's a good question, man. And fortunate enough, I got into camp with Tyson Fury when he fought Deontay Wilder 2 weeks before his fight.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to see him at his peak point. And, you know, I looked at him, and then I'd go back to the Vladimir Klitschko fight where he just kind of outboxed him. But, yeah, you can't teach that kind of style to anybody but nobody. So is he on top of the heap by himself? I think right now, yeah, until somebody learns to read his style of fighting and has counter punches for that, it's going to be tough to beat then.
Okay, I got about 30 seconds left. You got any products you want to pitch?
Well, just, yeah, the CBD products, you know, the cut cream, that's available at cutmanforhiresupplies.com and of course my Stitch premium products. So, they're out there. Everything's at Cutman for Hire Supplies. That's, you know, the only place for you to go get your Conor Man and Cutman supplies.
Cutman for Hire, like a hitman for hire. Bottom line is you're a class act. Say hello to your wife. She's a bigger fan of mine than yours, huh? Than you are.
Yeah. She says, who the interview with? I said, Pedro. Oh, tell him I said hi.
All the best, Jake Durant. Take care.
God bless. Thank you. Bye.
As we go to the break, of course, the passing this weekend of Dawn Wells. She played Marianne in Gilligan's Island. She passed from COVID. May she rest in peace.
The middle would be lost. The middle would be lost. The ship set ground on the shore of this uncharted desert isle. With Gilligan, the skipper too, a millionaire and his wife, a movie star, the professor and Mary Ann, here on Gilligan's Isle.
The Ronette. The Ronettes, of course, born Veronica Bennett. She is the lead singer, Ronnie Spector, no doubt about that. Mary Phil Spector, what a nut he was. He used to make her drive around in a car when she was not with him with a male mannequin. That's how insecure he was when it came to males and his wife, that he had her drive around with a mannequin in a car. Needless to say, Phil Spector's in prison right now for murder for the rest of his life. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live. Well, that wasn't supposed to be funny, it just turned out to be. You are tuned to the longest running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Let me take you back to 1978. Of course, Muhammad Ali has basically just won his last significant fight, having beat Leon Spinks in a rematch for the World Heavyweight Championship. He's taken across the pond to the UK with his then wife, Veronica Porsche Ali, and This Is Your Life.
Not many people have gone the full 15 rounds with you, but before we close, I'd like to remind you of someone who has. Just as he promised he would one August day in 1970, during your exile from the ring, when he gave you a lift in a car from Philadelphia to New York, and when he pulls up on 42nd Street, a crowd starts to gather.
And I said, hey, man, you better get out of my
car. Not Joe
people
Frazier.
Might think you and I are good pals.
No,
you've
Joe
described Frazier. Him as the fighter you most admire, your old adversary. We've flown him from Philadelphia.
Not Joe Frazier.
Smoking Joey.
Joe Frazier.
Joe Frazier.
Joe Frazier.
So how did you come to be giving Muhammad Ali a lift in your car?
Well, number one, I had a chance to move around to Philadelphia, and I went to one of the hotels, and I promised to give him a ride to New York City that day. I got out of the car. Somebody says, hey, go Smoking Joe Frazier. Oh, man, and he went off. Smoking Joe Frazier? Where is he? I want Smoking Joe Frazier. He got my title. So I went over and I shook
Joe
his hand.
Frazier.
He told me, he says, listen, sir, I have a man who's doing a book on me. Would you interview him into New York City? We rode into New York City. This guy would not let me get one word in all through the whole ride. He started talking about Smoking Joe Frazier. Can you whip me? Can you whip me? So Joe, Smoking Joe Frazier. See, I wrote a poem. He said, Joe, come out smoking. I'll be poking on water on that smoking. He said, I might amaze you. I will be higher smoking Joe Frazier. All through the whole time in New York, from Philadelphia to New York City, I had to go through that noise all the way.
What did you do?
So I had a chance to get into New York City. 42nd
and he slapped me.
And, 42nd and Broadway, and somebody messed around and saw him and myself, and he went off again. Smoking Joe Frazier, ladies and gentlemen, Smoking Joe Frazier, the man who got my title, I won my title. I was in the car.
Oh, Lord.
I said, look, I'll whip this sucker right now. So after a while, he got back in the car and kind of cooled down some. I said, hey, man, cool it off. You know what I mean? So he said, a song. So I sing it. It's not a song.
He's like, I can't believe it.
Ladies and gentlemen, a great guy. I would say we love him. He's a fine champion.
Oh, Lord.
Thank you.
This Is Your Life, no doubt about that. 1978, you know, people discount the love that there was for these guys. I mean, at times, I mean, it was funny. Is that when it came to Ali, Joe was sort of like Jekyll and Hyde with me. In other words, he was sort of like sort of bipolar. I mean, sometimes Ali was really, really cool. Other times when he had a few drinks, and when Joe had a few drinks, he was a different guy. That was the one thing about Joe Frazier, you could guarantee that that almost every time you went up to him after his boxing career was over, that you could smell the aroma of an alcoholic beverage on or around his breath. I kid you not. So anyway, so here's Joe Frazier, you know, and I said to him, so what about Ali? And he's saying, oh, Ali's the greatest guy in the world. And then we saw Ali, we were together for some mega event at this, this hotel. This big hotel in New York City, the Plaza or something like that. And then, you know, he went to disrespecting Ali, and then Ali couldn't figure it out. And, you know, I mean, they were sort of back and forth. So you never knew how Joe was going to affect you. Of course, obviously, Joe being brought over to the United Kingdom, they paid his way to get over there. I guess he wasn't going to get over there and say Muhammad Ali was a turd or anything like that. So he was this gracious guy, no doubt about that, at that point in time. But Joe, in later interviews, was nasty. I mean, just plain old nasty. And, you know, how can I put it? If you have to live in somebody's shadow, I guess, your entire life, why not let it be Muhammad Ali? If there's going to be somebody you're going to have to live in their shadow, Muhammad Ali is not a bad guy to live in somebody's shadow as far as your all-time, your conqueror is concerned, because he was considered the greatest of all time, whether you like him or not. I mean, his heavyweight credentials, 56-5, 37 KOs, no draws, of course. The last two fights a bit sad. Actually, the last four fights a bit sad. The first fight with Leon Spinks, he lost that fight, and I said to myself, you know, it's time to give it up. You're fat, you're old. Time to go away, man. Just go away. You're going to end up like Joe Lewis. So, of course, then he comes back and he beats Spinks in the rematch, and then he retires right on. He goes over to the UK, does that interview you just heard, the 1978 This Is Your Life type of thing from the UK. And then he comes back to the United States, and in 1979, 1980, he gets this inclination to come back and want to fight Larry Holmes, his former sparring partner. Now, if you watch some of the films of Muhammad Ali growing up, like I did, like Brain, Skill, and Guts, I think that was the greatest Ali film of all time, Brain, Skill, and Guts. Check it out. You can watch it on YouTube for free. But, I mean, in those sparring sessions there in Deer Lake, Pennsylvania, Larry Holmes is beating the snot out of Muhammad Ali. I mean, it ain't pretty. I mean, yikes. And he's holding his punches. You know, you had to hold your punches. I mean, you don't want to beat up the guy that's paying you. He's the guy that's making you the money. Can't be beating up your guy like that, because you beat up your sparring partners that send you home. Ask Paul Nava. I guess he got rough with Shane Mosley, did he get rough with Shane Mosley or De La Hoya? He got rough with one of those guys and they sent him home, although that's his story. Anyway, you don't get rough with sparring partners. You just don't do it. That's why they are sparring partners. They're being paid to do this with you, okay? At the end of the day, though, when you look at boxing right now, Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali, it was the greatest rivalry of all time. I can't think of a greater rivalry. 32-4-1 was Frazier. Of course, a 1964 Olympic gold medalist. Ali was a 1960 Olympic gold medalist. Ali won the gold medal in Rome at 178 pounds, light heavyweight. Then he moved into the heavyweight division, of course, and became heavyweight champion. And Joe Frazier won it at heavyweight. And continue, of course, become the heavyweight champion of the world when Muhammad Ali was in exile. And I guess that's the only real question between Ali and Frazier. Well, what would have been like had they clashed, you know, without the 3 years in between? I mean, the 3.5 years, Ali was off 3.5 years because of that draft induced, his desire to not step forward into the military. That draft suspension, of course, which he wanted, took away his ability to work. He couldn't work. It took away his title 3.5 years. In the meantime, Joe Frazier becomes champion, beating guys like Jerry Corey along the way. And, you know, more power to him. He even beat Ernie Chubb. I mean, he beat some good guys, no doubt about that. And Joe was a man, beat Oscar Bonavena. Oscar Bonavena taught Joe some stuff the first time, no doubt about that. But Joe was the superior fighter. I mean, outside of Ali, there was Joe Frazier. And it's no sin, as I said. It's just no sin to be second to Muhammad Ali. At the end of the day, though, Joe wasn't that nice to me. He wasn't. I mean, sometimes he was, that's it. It was sort of like bipolar. I remember a couple of times when he had drinks, I walked into the Vaughn Bean dressing room there at the Omni in Atlanta, Georgia, for a Vaughn Bean Evander Holyfield fight. And the referee had just left. Brian Gary just left. And I went in with my camera and my microphone because I was doing the King Vision television. And I was going to get an interview with Vaughn Bean. I think I did. I think we did do an interview. But I smelled the booze in the room. And I couldn't believe there was booze in this room. I'm freaking out. And I look over. And obviously, Joe Frazier and Butch Lewis are drunk. I mean, there was just absolutely no doubt about it. These guys were stiff as a board. I kid you not. Of course, they went out there and they insulted the referee. That wasn't very cool. And at the end of the night, of course, Vaughn Bean ended up losing the great Evander Holyfield. Holyfield, people say to me, without steroids, would Evander Holyfield have been as great as he was? You know, no. No, there's no doubt about it. You have to put an asterisk next to what he's done, even though I respect him. We were somewhat Olympic teammates, or I take that back, Olympic training camp teammates back in 1984 when I first met him in May of 1984. I'm in Colorado for the Western Olympic Trials, and of course, he's there because he's going to be part of the team. There's no doubt about it. And remember, he and I having this big conference over stale pancakes, and I was bitching and moaning about the food, you know, because I'm sort of like, I'm an SF cop at the time. I've got money in my pocket, you know what I'm saying? I'm not starving, right? Other guys were coming from the hood. They were starving. So pancakes were something to some guys that they weren't to me. At the end of the day, Evander Holyfield taught me a lesson that day. Of course, the same day that I walked out and saw Henry Tillman, another goal, Evander being the bronze medalist, very controversially. And then, of course, there was Henry Tillman. Henry Tillman came out there. Of course, he was from L.A., and he was a heavyweight that I used to scream at. Not scream at, but every time I saw him, Henry, how come you got to run at noon, and I had to get in up and run at 5:30 in the morning? And it was like 28 or 29 degrees. I kid you not. I ran my ass off in the snow. You would not believe how fast you will run in the snow. People say, oh, the snow closed. No. You will run your ass off. I mean, the streets were clear. It was snowing around. The streets were clear, so you could run on the little streets and those paths in Colorado Springs, but you ran your ass off in the cold because you definitely wanted to go over it. So that was definitely a motivator, no doubt about that. But when I look at the entire picture there, the 1984 team, of course, Tillman, as I said, screaming about him not, me screaming about him not having to get up at 5:30 in the morning and getting to run at noon. I got into some trouble this week with Jerry Page, who eventually won the gold medal on my weight at 139 pounds. Talk about, Jerry out of Cincinnati, Ohio. But I got in trouble with him and Mario L'Esperance Jr. and a couple of the guys. Mario, at one point in time, was the United States 108-pound champion, of course, from Vallejo, California, the best amateur we ever had before Andre Ward. But I got into trouble with these guys because of the fact that I said the 84 team, of course, they won all those gold medals, but there were no Cubans there. And the Cubans were like, if not the best team in boxing, the second best team in boxing next to the USA. So there would have been some fights. There was no doubt about that. And, you know, just the heavyweights alone, the super heavyweights alone, we had, you know, Teofilo Stevenson and Tyrell Biggs. That was going to be the showdown for the heavyweight gold. Okay. And Stevenson had knocked him out before. Stevenson had already knocked out Biggs. There was one gold medal was going to go away. So in my mind, a lot of gold medals would have bit the dust, no doubt about that, had the Cubans been involved in the 1984 team. Sorry, guys. You're going to get pissed, but that's just the way it is. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Happy birthday, Mauricio Sulaiman, president of the World Boxing Council. My buddy, of course, his father and I were tight. His father and I had a special relationship. We disagreed on some things, but we spent some time in some nice places together, and I miss his father, Jose Sulaiman. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Canelo Alvarez, of course, going to fight again in May, coming off that win over Callum Smith, a fortnight ago, a 12-round win, of course, looking superior at 168 pounds. Has given up the WBA 168-pound trinket, so he's going to campaign only at 168 pounds from here on in. It looks like in May, the Cinco de Mayo card, as far as him in May is concerned, is going to be Billy Joe Saunders, 30-0, 14 kills, of course, the WBO 168-pound champion, a guy from across the pond, the UK. He's another gypsy, much like Tyson Fury. He's got some problems as far as him insulting women and things like that, so he's got some issues. They need to get him into the big money fight right now before he just implodes on his own offstage. I kid you not. So he's a nightmare waiting to happen. Now, the other guy, as far as Cinco de Mayo is concerned, is going to be Ryan Garcia. Of course, he was heard here in hour number one of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The Rage, call him what you want. Hector and these guys are dogging him. Stitch even dogged him a little bit. All these guys are going to be wrong. They're all going to be wrong. I'm going to tell you, last night, that exhibition he put forth, getting up off the deck, showing he can, you know, take a shot, and he saw it coming. It was a looping shot, and that helped. It had been a Pernell Whitaker straight shot, like a surgeon type of left hand, he might not have gotten up because he wouldn't have seen it. okay, or an uppercut he might not have seen. But the bottom line is he saw that punch a little bit, and he responded well. Give him props, no doubt about that, Ryan Garcia. But Ryan Garcia is going to be the man as far as May is concerned. He's going to have a shot as far as the Cinco de Mayo day is concerned. Him and maybe Saul Alvarez, I don't think they'll be on the same DAZN card, but they're both with DAZN. Just Ryan's got a contract with them, and Saul Alvarez doesn't. So that's sort of weird. We'll have to figure out what Cinco de Mayo looks like. But Cinco de Mayo, a great fight would be Tank Davis. Of course, Gervonta Davis, unbeaten, 24-25-0. And, of course, the unbeaten Ryan Garcia, 21-0. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Universally, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, 37, make that 38-plus years now. Often imitated but never duplicated. We come to you live each and every Sunday, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, right here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 217. Till next time, there's a million things you can be doing right now. But the fact that you're listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, well, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Next time, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Be here!